message this morning, I share it from the book of John, chapter 4. John, chapter 4. That's the passage for our thoughts this morning. If you have the Bible with you, you can turn it to John, chapter 4. I will read it from verse 7 to verse 15. The word of the Lord says, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy bread. The woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can the..." I mean verse 9. "That Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For a Jew do not associate with Samaritan.' Jesus answered, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it that asks you for a drink, you would ask him, and he would have given you the living water.' 'Sir,' the woman said, 'you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drink from it, as did also his son and his flocks and herds?' Jesus answered, Everyone who drinks this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life.'" And verse 15 says, "The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirst and have keep coming to draw water.'" May God bless us from the reading of His Word. As we pursue our goals in life, each and every one of us have a deepest desire within our hearts. Whatever that desire may be pursue famous and riches, a good health, happy marriage, or good educations. Whatever that desire may be, we all agree that in the deepest desires in our hearts, we long to see the guidance and the presence of God in our lives. Without the knowledge of God, our hope for peace, love, and joy will be there no more. There are many examples in history of people dying in pursuit of their desires of their hearts. Some died sacrificed for the truth in the Bible. And some died in vain because of some false interpretation of the scripture. One example comes to mind is the story of the man by the name of John, a Greek, 41 years old, of Durango, Colorado. He was invited to join one of the meetings led by the Abel White, the Heaven's Gate cult. Within the week, he wrote a note to his wife and told her he's going to see the spaceship, living to go to heaven. He never went back, and we learned from what happened. He was one of the 37 cultist members that was killed. Over here, he ran to Santa Fe, San Marcos, close by from our church. It's all because of the pursuance for the deepest desire in their hearts. As Christians, we all have that desire. Sometimes we grope in the darkness to find what it is. But let me tell you this morning, we are probing to have, to feel the guidance and the leading of God in our lives. So John the Evangelist shared the experience of the woman at the well with the generation that never seen Jesus, the later generations. Because that's the purpose of the book of John, is to appeal Christ to those who haven't met Jesus as an eyewitness of Him. But in order to stimulate the faith and trust that He is the promised Messiah. So as we study this morning, John present to the readers and to the generations, we may say Generation X, that Jesus was with His disciples in Jerusalem, and then at the same time John the Baptist was doing his ministry. As you look at the end of chapter 3, we discover that there was a jealousy rose among the disciples of John, because they saw so many people went to Jesus for baptism, and that created jealousy among them. And what makes things worse, the Pharisees saw that. It was an opportunity to excite the situation and create a conflict between Jesus' ministry and John the Baptist's ministry. But gracious Jesus Christ looked into the situation and gently left Jerusalem and went back to Galilee. But He decided to go through Samaria. And there we discover Jesus met the Samaritan woman by the well. The woman went a particular times of the day. The Bible students study a peculiar time that this Samaritan woman decided to go to the well. It was the noontime, the hardest times of the day. I just returned from Jordan, work with the soldier there, and one of the problems that faced the soldiers was suffer with dehydration and the heat. And Jesus Himself was physically tired, and He was in need of a drink because it was a hot afternoon. However, the Samaritan woman was there at the well at the same time. Bible commentators even suggest, as they study the passage, they recommend that the woman who was at the well at that time had a reputation. She was the talk of the town. She would not would like to be seen in the public. She had a fear of shame from being mocked and laughed at. So probably that's one of the reasons decided not to go to the well in the morning time or in the afternoon, the cool hours of the day, but just to be there, to tolerate the heat, to avoid people who calls her names. She was a victim of abuse, and she lost trust and confidence to commit to a permanent relationship. She suspected everyone to be taking advantage of her. No doubt she was felt betrayed, denied many times. So she developed a resentful and aggressive behaviors in order for her to have comfort, sense of security, and to survive from the peer pressure. Jesus, by the well, seen all of these actions, and the woman, as she approached the water, as the Bible tells us in verse 7, Jesus was looking at her and noticed all the details of what she was doing. She mounted the jar at the end of the rope and lowered it down to the bottom of the well, dip it inside to fill it up. And then He also filled it up again until she could touch it and empty it into the jar that she's supposed to carry it back home. Let me tell you, my family this morning, the Oriental culture or Arab descendants It's one of their custom to show hospitality to whoever passes by, because they believe some of those people are angels still, so they want to be blessed. So they show hospitality by giving, inviting them to their homes, or even giving them a water to drink. But it's strange with this woman. Seemingly did not want to see and recognize the presence of a stranger by the well. And after she filled her jar with water and she tried to collect it, and just about, Jesus gently asked her, "Would you mind? Would you please give me a cup of water?" My friend, this morning we discovered amazingly the woman at the well was stunned, was shocked. Instead of offering Jesus a water, she turned his request, but she unloaded the problems unto Jesus. Verse 9, she said, the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" She was openly prevailing or showed up the prejudice, the racial discriminations, the bitterness intolerance. My friend, this morning, the evangelist John bring the experience of the woman at the well to remind us, when the heart is under the influence of sin, we close the door to become generous, loving, and forgiving. The experience of the woman at the well is the experience of how sins influence the heart of humanity. We become selfish because we have a lot of issues in our lives. But the questions John the Evangelist would like to show to us this morning: how did Jesus minister to the deepest need of a Samaritan woman who turned him down? How did Jesus minister? My friend, this morning, Jesus, with his great compassionate, loving and patience, he ministered to her by offering her a living water as a better option. He aroused her interest and pointed her to the deepest need of her soul and offered her the better option is the living water. Verse 10, Jesus answered to the woman. The Bible says, "If you knew the gift of God and who is asking you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you a living water." Do you remember what her response was? She said in verse 11, "You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well to drink from it, and even his sons, his animals? Are you greater than him? You have nothing to draw from." And Jesus answered her again in verse 13 and 14, "Everyone drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water I give him or her will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Isn't that wonderful? Jesus said to her, there is a better option. The water you come daily to draw from will never satisfy your need. Tomorrow you will be thirsty and come back again. But the water
I want you to know and be aware of. It will stop your thirst. Your longing for water for her sounds interesting. But for Jesus, try to point out to her. The living water is the power of the gospel of salvation that will stop the craving, the lust of the flesh, to sins of this world. That's what Jesus. There is a better option. There is a better offer than what you're pursuing, the material things of this world, but the living water, which is Jesus Christ Himself. It will stop you from longing the craving of our hearts. Not only will stop you from thirst, it will stop you from keep coming to the well. Do you know when sins make roots in our hearts, we have that habit of going back to it. But Jesus, the living water, the best options, will stop that habit of going back to our weakness. My friend, this morning, there is a better option. To satisfy our deepest soul is the living water which is Jesus Christ Himself. The craving, the thirst, wanting no more, wanting more and more, it will be stopped, but we will be satisfied. And also, it will stop us from carrying those jars to the well. They're heavy. But Jesus said, the living water will stop you from coming back to the well and carrying those burdens, because the cross carries all our burdens. When I was in Jordan, met with soldiers to Bible studies, several soldiers came to me, chaplain. We have few soldiers, they have a tendency of going back to drink because it was we're not allowed to for any soldier to drink over there, the operation in Jordan. Do you have any recommendation? I said, well, I never start in a meeting, AA meeting, but if you have an experience, let's start an AA meeting. So about four of us, first time I sit in the AA meeting. And before you say something in that meeting, you have to admit, my name is John, I'm alcoholic. And I have been struggled through this and I overcome it. When I come to my turn to say something, I said, I am the chaplain, I am a sinner, I have issues I need to work with. My friends, those meetings, I even share the Word of God. The Word of God, the living water, will stop us from going back to our sinful life, the habits. Stop the longing for things the material world offers to us. Jesus said to the woman, there is a better option. After one Bible studies one night, another soldier came back. Chaplain, I want to share you my story. After we talked about the life of Samaritan woman, I can identify with her experience. As she told her story, tears flowing down her cheeks. She said, Chaplain, just before the deployment, I made up my mind to commit suicide. Things didn't work well. And during that ordeal, she was reading the scripture, and she even showed to me the book of Psalms 88. If you have time, you look in that book. It's a messianic gospel there. It talks about how Jesus suffered, and she said she claimed that it's justified the act of suicide. I said, interesting. And during that ordeal, she said to Jesus, God, if you can deliver me and spare my life, I know you will do a miracle. If not, it's hopeless. As she was taking medication pills mixed with alcohol, lift up the weapons trying to take her life, a miracle happened. The neighbor came from nowhere, grabbed the weapons away from her and rushed her to find help. She claimed the word of God became a living water to spare her life, and she learned there is a better meaning in life than what she was about to do to take her life. My friend, this morning, there is a better option. The living water satisfy our need. But not only that, it will like become a living water that will spring, a wellspring until eternal life. How did Jesus minister to the woman at the well? Offering her the living water is a better option. Not only offering her and living water is a better option, but if you look at verse 4, and you can come with the conclusion that the living water can remove a secret admirers in our hearts. The power of the gospel of salvation is in our hearts. Each and every one of us have little things that we wrestle with. Jesus said to her in verse 16 and 17, go, call your husband, come back. She said, I have no husband. Verse 18 said, Jesus said to her, you are absolutely right, you have no husband. In fact, you have five husbands, and the man you are now with. You are right. My friend, this morning, Jesus appealed to her. When you open your heart for the living water, it will replace those secret admirers, whatever secret admirers we have in our heart. My child could be laziness, could be timber, could be things that we're not supposed to look at. Spirit prophecy, we have to guide the avenues to the hearts, our senses, because the devil tried to desensitize us. Whatever little secrets, the living water will remove it, replace it, and become a wellspring of life. David experienced, took that route. God sent Nathan to David. And Nathan told a riddle to David about a rich man and a poor man who took advantage of the poor man's lamp. Was only the only lamp grew up together with his children. But the rich young man took that lamp, slaughtered it, and prepared for a feast for his friend. The King David was so angry and said, bring him into justice. The man of God, you are the man, David. You are the man. There are little secrets in your life need to bring into justice. My friend, this morning, David said in Psalms 15, it's a well-known, I love that Psalms. Psalm 15, 1 and 2. It says, have mercy on me, Lord, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins. And then in verse 10, 12 and 11, powerful word, David said, God, create in me a pure heart, O Lord. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your what?
of your salvations. Grant me the willing spirit to sustain me. The power of the gospel to salvations can replace those little things in our hearts and restore us unto the joy of salvations. When we allow Jesus to come into our hearts, He will open the doors of our hearts and we become generous, loving and forgiving. And our home will be a place, a sheltering place for those who long to find place of comfort. Not only the living water will replace the secrets as my admirers in our hearts, but Jesus also said to the woman, after the dialogue with the woman at the well, her interest was high. She said to Jesus, the woman said, "I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything unto us." And then Jesus said unto her, "I am he. I am the Messiah." My friend, this morning, the living water is a better option. The living water will replace all challenges and difficulties and struggles of our lives. It prepares us to meet the Savior. It paved the way for us to meet the Savior. Guess what happened? Verse 28 and verse 29 is amazing. Then leaving her jar by the well, the woman went back to town and said to people, "Come and see the man who told me everything about my life. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of town and made their way to meet Jesus. My family, this morning, what a powerful experience, how Jesus reach the hearts of those who close the door. To be sensitive to the work of the Holy Spirit, patiently arouse interest to point them. There is a deepest need for each and every one of us is to have God guidance in our lives. Open the room for a better options. The story of salvation. Satisfy your thirst. Your search. Clear our mind. Prepare us for our close communion with the Savior. When the disciples returned from the town where they went to buy food, surprised to see Jesus talking with the sinful woman. As the Bible tells us, but none of them dared to ask him. So they gave Jesus food, and Jesus said, I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Even Jesus himself was satisfied to see one soul accept the gospel of salvation to eternal life. Heaven glory. Rejoice and celebrate for one soul repents and accepts salvation. Jesus Christ lost the sense of hunger because he was satisfied the woman accept him as Lord and Savior. As you follow along the passage, the end of the chapter, Jesus said to his disciple, "Look at the field. It's ready for harvest. The problem is short of workers." My friend, this morning, the field is ready for harvest. It's white, but it's ready. It's waiting for those who partnership with Jesus to do the will, the work of God, to bring peoples to accept salvation. What an awesome invitation. What a noble call. Angels can do it. But God extended invitation for you and me to extend the kingdom of God, because the harvest is ready. How can we do it? Allow the living water to be a better option in our lives. Let the living water to clean out some difficulties, challenges that we have. Prepare us to meet the Savior. And we can become blessings to others. My friend, this morning, it comes to my mind that our church is ready for a DVD ministry, an excited ministry that will be on January 10th. Professionally prepared, the script, the craft, the pictures, the slides, professionally prepared. We just wait for the Holy Spirit to bless us and invite the community to come. It will happen right over here. But Jesus said, first, allow this living water to be in your hearts. First, allow the living water to replace some of the things in your heart. Meet Jesus. Make us ready to be partnership of Him, because the field is ready for harvest. God will finish His work through you and through me. My appeal this morning, praise the Lord, He has not done with us, but He extends His invitations to join with Him in the work of saving souls. May God bless us this morning. May God continue to do His ministry of grace and love to prepare us or to lead us to someone to meet Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.